Who do I think is going to benefit from the new rules with the Mets? You have anybody, Fleas, that comes to mind right away?
Well, you jump to think lefty, so Nimmo, because obviously it's not McNeil, so I would think Nimmo, and maybe Lindor when he's batting lefty, because he pulls the ball a lot as a lefty.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I know, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, and maybe McNeil gets hurt, but I don't think that that's...
No, McNeil just knows where to put the ball. Yeah, he's fine.
He's going to rake regardless.
Your boy Vogelback, it'll help all the lefties.
Yeah, Vogelback probably. And I bet you that's one of the reasons why they're excited about having him. I know he's not making anything, but keep Vogelback because, look, a lot of hitters should improve by, because a lot of hitters aren't great, well-rounded hitters that spray the ball all over the place.
And again, especially the left-handed hitters. There's shifts against righties, but it's impacted the lefties more and for a longer time.
Right, not to the level against the lefties where you see, you know, guys in
the guy in short right field, yeah.
Yeah, that takes away base hits. Yeah, maybe Nimmo's a good one. I think you're probably right about Lindor. I don't know. I want to see it play out. I'm excited for it. You guys like the ghost rule as we welcome in Marco Belletti? You guys like the ghost runner rule here?
I can't say I like the rule, but I think it's good for baseball, if that makes sense. I don't love seeing it. I'm more of the, let's just play it out, play baseball and see what it is. But I think it's good for baseball because I think it gives more intrigue, and I think it gets the casual fan a little bit more juice, and I think that's good for the game.
What do you think, Fleegs? You like it?
I like it as somebody who goes to a lot of 7 o'clock games and has to be here by midnight. I don't hate it as much as I thought I would. Seeing it in action, it's fine. There's a different kind of strategy. And I just wish, though, if it started in the 11th inning or 12th, like give me one real extra inning and then go from there.
That's not a bad idea. I've heard that being brought up. I'm a purist. I'm somebody that I wish you could go back to, you know, 7 teams in each, you know, each division, break the two leagues up, all National League, all American League, because that's how I grew up. So I like it that way. Making the playoffs is harder, but you have to evolve, and the sport has evolved. And the purist in me says, oh, this is stupid, but the actual fan in me watching the game, you're a fool if you're not embracing the entertaining part of it. It automatically adds drama. If you go into the 10th inning or 11th inning and it's just starting up extra innings, you're not locked in, you know, the way that you would, whatever. You could go do something or have the game on in the background. All of a sudden, 10th inning starts with a runner on second base. You're locked in. Like, now there's drama.
And we said for years, you know, people wanted the DH to stay out of the National League because we would talk about strategy. There's a lot of strategy from a manager's perspective, knowing you're tied, even just in the 9th inning, how that would roll over into the 10th, and then all of the extra innings that could precede that. So there's still a lot of strategy involved. So if you're a thinker watching a baseball game, it gives you plenty to speculate about.
Which is what you love for baseball, right?
I mean, look, anything that baseball gets people talking or gets people's eyes on it, I mean, baseball does an awful job of promoting their game. Awful.
Right.
So this is something that helps. If it gives juice, if it gives strategy, if it gives anything, if it gives us talking about it,
right. It's
good for the game. I don't have to love it personally, but I know that Major League Baseball needs to do a better job of trying to promote their game a little bit, and this is something that gives it a little bit of juice. It's a spark.
Isn't it weird, though, that we're all like, yeah, I'm fine with it, with the Ghost Runner, but as long as it's not in the postseason. Like, in the postseason, do not mess with that.
Well, right? It's the same thing, though, like, you know, whether you hate or love the shootout in hockey, like, in the playoffs, like, we have to see the game played the way it's always played just to try to determine the true champion or get the closest we can to a real champion without anything else that kind of just changes the playing field. I think that's why people don't want it in the postseason.
It is. I mean, the postseason, people freak out.
Oh, listen, I would lose my mind, too, because it just, the game is, at that point, in the postseason, 162-game regular season, as much as we've seen one or two games bite teams, especially the Mets, like last year, where it matters, it's such a different feel when it's postseason
baseball. It does. So if I'm playing devil's advocate here, being the negative side of it, that's one argument. Well, if it's you like it, but you don't like it in the postseason, why not? And then the other thing is it does cheapen the game to a point where it makes it so much easier to score. You expect the team to score at least one run in extra innings with the runner.
It could give one team, well, one, it definitely gives the home team right off the bat, it gives them an advantage. And in the postseason, you don't want to give anybody an advantage.
But then that's what's maybe not okay with it, no?
I don't know if it's that, I think it's just the idea that, I mean, you're talking about 162. One game shouldn't kill you. And if it does, you know what? kind of tough. But I think it's also the idea of this is a marathon. Do we need to have seven more arms and go 14, 16, 17 innings?
Right.
In the playoffs, hey, man, got to get a winner. I don't care if you got to blow out your bullpen. You're going to get a day off in 2 days anyway. Plus, it's the postseason. Figure it out. So I think there's the difference between the sprint of a playoff series where every game, I mean, it's the best of seven versus 162. Let's not blow out an arm. You lose a guy for 2 months because you had to use him. You had to extend him for a fourth inning when he really should be a one inning reliever. So I think that's the difference. Look, does it cheapen the game? Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
But I don't think that's over 162. I think you can get away with it. Over a playoff series, then it becomes where I talked about, you know, baseball promoting itself. You want to promote yourself in the right way. Do you really want everybody talking about it because a playoff series was
right
on a ghost runner, yeah, and everybody's complaining? I think that's bad.
And you talked about like the injury aspect. You don't want a guy to get hurt because of a 19-inning game in April. If something happens because of an epic postseason game, it's a little bit different. There's the travel aspect.
Yeah,
there's so many different factors. Like you said, the marathon versus the sprint, Marco,
you
don't want it to be the deciding factor. And with baseball promoting the game, in the playoffs, if a game goes long, you know, yeah, you're up late, but it's epic drama, incredible action. People are glued to the TV.
Regular season, it gets lost in
April
the shuffle.
With the ghost runner and the pitch clock, they want to be able to tell people, hey, max of 3.5 hours, you're in, you're out. It's packed into this tight window. Come watch a game. You know that if you commit to it at 7 o'clock, you'll be done by 10:30.
Yeah, I think it's fine for the regular season, and I would never want to see it in the postseason. And one quick thing before we get to Marco's update, you know, the caller called before asking about which Met would benefit from the shift. I'll tell you, the number one advantage that the Mets are going to have with all these rule changes, they've got the right guy in the dugout. They are going to have a major... There's no way you can tell me that any other manager in baseball is going to know the rule. Like,
well, he already played with the old, he already was there with the old rules. All these young managers, they don't even know what the old rules were like.
Right.
Buck just has to go back to, this is what I did 30 years ago.
He lived for it. Like, he was looking for something to dive into this offseason. He's looking for rule changes so he could dive into it and one-up you. Oh, it gives me goosebumps thinking about how smart this guy is, how much he lives for it. He's the Bill Belichick. Now, obviously, he doesn't have the rings, but he's that level of genius when it comes to knowing the ins and outs of the game.
It's funny. You got some managers that'll spend their vacations or whatever doing this, doing that. Buck's just sitting there reading the rule book.
Oh, baby!
Going over it and trying to figure out whatever the new clock, the shift, is he 3 degrees to the left of whatever?
Yes!
Buck's got it all the
back
of his
hand.
And
now that the Eagles are done, Aaron Boone can crack it open for the first time and start to figure it out.
Yeah. Boone's somebody will hand it to him in spring training. What do we got here? All right, let me take a look.
Anthony Rizzo is exciting about hitting 30 to 40 points higher this year because there's no shift, and Aaron Boone's like, oh, really?
Okay. I didn't see that in the data department. I'm not picking
computer
on Boone.
Didn't spit that one out.
You guys are going to get me in trouble with Boone, but it does speak to the Buck. And imagine, you know, Louis Rojas, for example, or Mickey Callaway. That doofus didn't even
right with Boone. I'm just joking more because of the Philly stuff. With a guy like Rojas or Callaway, I mean, forget it.
Right. I mean, these guys, put it this way, it's just great to know that Buck is in the dugout of the team that I am rooting for.